found that there are thousands of children working in these small-scale gold mines, and they do work in very hazardous conditions. They risk injury, for example, when working in very deep, unstable pits, which sometimes collapse, and we interviewed some children that actually were themselves involved in accidents. They also carry loads that are far too heavy for their young age, which can obviously injure and hurt their spine in the long term. And they use toxic mercury to separate the gold from the ore.
Mercury is a very toxic and dangerous element. Why is it used in the mining process?
Mercury is cheap and easy to use and is used by miners in many different parts of the world, including here in Tanzania, in the small-scale gold mining sector, where there's obviously little investment, little money, and you need little skill and training to use it. Children do this as well, so they use this liquid silver metal, mix it with their bare hands into the ground-up ore, and then create an amalgam of mercury and gold, and then later burn that amalgam, or sometimes give it to someone else to burn and stand next to it, and that way inhale the vapor. The burned mercury is highly toxic. Mercury attacks the central nervous system. It can cause long-term damage, including brain damage, heart conditions, lung conditions, and a variety of other health problems. It can cause lifelong disability, and it can potentially even kill. It is also particularly harmful for children whose systems are still developing.
Also, your report points out that most of these children are orphans who are drawn into this type of life, looking for a better life for themselves and their families. And especially girls in this particular case are being exploited. So why then does the Tanzanian government not use its own laws that they created to protect children in the mining sector? Why don't they enforce their laws?
Well, there are some programs underway, for example, to support orphans through protection schemes or through direct financial support, so-called cash transfer programs. But most of these programs are still in the process of being established, and they also just do not reach the orphans in the mining areas to the degree that they should. There's relatively little support by the government itself for orphans. There's an enormous need for really much stronger programming and much stronger support for these vulnerable children.
Has Human Rights Watch attempted to contact the government regarding this to get them to enforce their laws?
Yes, we have been in contact with a range of ministries dealing with this issue. So in particular, the Ministry of Labor, the Ministry of Energy and Minerals, several ministries dealing with child protection issues, such as the Ministry of Community Development, the Ministry of Health and Social Welfare. The Ministry of Labor has told us that they just simply don't have the means to do more than what they're doing now. And while it is correct that the number of labor inspectors is definitely too small, we really believe that more could and should be done to ensure checkups and inspections in the informal sector. Right now, the approach of the government is if they do any child labor inspections in mining, which is very rare, it will only happen on legal sites that have received a license. The majority of mining sites are not licensed. They are sort of part of the informal sector. And this is an area where no labor inspector has basically set foot yet. And we really believe that much more needs to be done there.
Is there any way to educate the community on the dangers of the poisonous effects of mercury?
Absolutely, and this is very vital. We are calling upon the government to inform children and adults who are working in the artisanal and small-scale gold mining sector about the health risks connected to mercury. One problem that we see right now is that there's a very low level of knowledge around the risk, and even health workers in their training do not learn much about mercury exposure and mercury poisoning. So, of course, they are also not in a position to inform their day-to-day patients about the risks. So what we're really calling for here is obviously much better public education, public health prevention, really, as well as ultimately putting the health system into a position where individual patients can actually come and get a diagnosis and be treated if they have any symptoms caused by mercury exposure.